Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Over the last few days, we've been witnessing the catastrophic climate disasters that have unfolded in the Eastern Cape. As I take a look at the TV screens right now, there's ongoing conversations with municipal managers of the OR Tambo district, essentially advising and giving updates on the search and mop-up operations, which continue after last week's deadly downpours. Now, there's certainly a financial impact to this because many South Africans have been unhoused, damage to farms, livestock, and of course, even crops. But to help us contextualize the insurance dynamic, capital that is allocated to cover risk, including risk of such extreme weather conditions, we join now by Pamela Ramakaka, who is the General Manager for Insurance Risks at the South African Insurance Association. Sis Pamela, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you so much. I trust I pronounced your last name correctly. I'm open to correction.
Yes, you have not. It's Ramakaka, as in that's one version of it. Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I truly appreciate that. I believe let's start on, you know, just the overview in terms of insurance risk, and most importantly, the heightened level of awareness that we have when it comes to climate conditions or climate-related disasters. In South Africa, it seems as though they've been happening more frequently than not.
Globally, we've had an increased frequency and severity of climate-related events, and we're just feeling our share of that global movement. And obviously with us, if it's not too much rain, it's too little rain. And that's what we're seeing mostly in terms of claims from the insurance industry for those risks that are actually insured.
100%. And maybe this is also what we do need to evaluate, that this is essentially what you and your peers in the industry do. You evaluate the level of risk associated with various assets that can be covered and insured. Talk us through this process that is taking place industry-wide, especially when it comes to climate or weather-related risk.
Weather-related risks have always been an insurable risk, and we engaged our insurers a couple of years ago when this frequency and severity element started increasing, just to see from a trade association perspective whether the reinsurers are now not finding our market a good diversified or a place to go to diversify their books. And what that means is it's attractive to them to give us capacity as local insurers to give this cover to our residents, you know, to society at large. So the reinsurers then said, our country is still better, not that, you know, we are not experiencing our own share of disasters, but it's still a better looking risk versus all the other global risks. I mean, California is a perfect example of that, of when it goes bad, it really, really goes bad.
Let's go to that, because earlier this year we saw those fires coming out of California, right? And thousands of homes that were devastated and essentially demolished on the back of those fires. I'm keen to dig into two themes that you mentioned. Number one, the international comparison, but also the reinsurers. For many of us on the consumer end, we fail to recognize that there's a much bigger balance sheet behind the companies that we might insure with. But you as insurance companies also need to make sure that you have your necessary capital adequacy ratios. And as such, reinsurance is what's provided to essentially mean that when you pay out to the market, you have that necessary support and backup plan. Help us contextualize what that market and environment looks like now with these renegotiations and conversations, especially looking at South Africa against its international peers.
Fortuitously, we've just had my department's BOT committee, which reports into the SAIA board, and some of our members just before the meeting actually just were conversing about they were in the midst of their treaty renewals, and thus far it was looking good. That's a good sign. With all the disasters that we've experienced as a country, the market is still, as I mentioned, it's still desirable to diversify reinsurers' risks. So, I mean, it will obviously depend from reinsurer to reinsurer, because each company, they have their own risk appetites, which is dictated to by their board. So how much risk they undertake or how much of a certain risk they undertake, it will all depend on their risk appetites. But as a market, it's looking good for those insurers that shared their stories before that meeting started.
We might be.
I don't know if you need. Yeah, go on.
Sure. I was actually going to say we're a market that looks good internationally, but maybe let's also talk about the current levels of insurance penetration in South Africa, specifically around individuals and small businesses, in reaction to their levels of preparedness for weather-related risks. Are we adequately insured?
No, we're not. There is so much capacity within our local industry to be able to play a more pivotal role in getting our country to be more risk resilient, especially against climate-related risks. We did a Finmark Trust survey. I was one of the panelists, and we were actually talking about this, about where are we as South Africa with regards to non-life insurance penetration. It's increased. It's increased, especially in the embedded products. And what I mean embedded, I mean when you buy your furniture, it comes with insurance. Or you buy your phone, it comes with insurance. But what you need is property insurance. And their penetration is extremely low. It's too low. Gotcha. So there is opportunity for that penetration to grow. And obviously, we're talking about reducing the protection gap of South Africa. Most of the people that are not insured are those in that vulnerable space in society. And so there's a lot of dialogues we have been having as an industry with the national government and some departments with regards to how do we bring in some resilience, for instance, in the agri sector for small scale farmers who are currently underserved, if at all insured. And we're talking index insurance as an industry through Santam, one of our members representing the industry, went in and tested this product offering that's internationally offered. It's index or parametric solution. I don't know if you've heard about it before.
Explain what
it means. Sure, no problem. So parametric solution means that it moves faster. It doesn't need an assessment of a risk before you incept. It doesn't need an assessment of the risk when you've suffered a loss. The loss is assumed it has happened. So what it does, it covers a geographic area. So for instance, especially with communal land, you don't have a title deed to say this is my land. Mm-hmm. You're all sharing one land. So if we covering a couple of communal lands in the same geographic spacing, for instance, against too much rain or too little rain, then through satellite information, reinsurers and insurers are able to see where there is a potential loss going to happen. And when a trigger is triggered, meaning there is a calculation, there's beautiful calculations behind the scene using that data to say the trigger is now triggered, you need to make a payout. The payout is made immediately to the beneficiaries. We do not wait for us to go and assess your loss. And you know, with disasters, you need relief immediately. Mm. So this is a huge milestone win for the country.
100%.
Huge, huge milestone win.
What you're describing sounds like it's exactly what we need, especially in light of the catastrophe that has unfolded within the Eastern Cape. How far are we in those conversations between government and the private sector to implement such solutions in the country?
Well, the private sector is ready. We've tested, we've trialed it. A couple of insurers, if I'm not incorrect, have already passed in terms of their application to our Prudential Authority, which is one of our regulators. So they are ready to go. But unfortunately, the big but is that this kind of product, it needs scale. Meaning it needs a lot of policies to be underwritten. We have got a model that we've proposed to national government to say if we go the aggregator model, meaning, for instance, with agri is where specifically we're trying to find a proof of concept with government, is if you go through an aggregator like, you know, the entities that provide loan facilities to farmers, so they're able to buy seed, to buy fertilizer, to buy all those ingredients that they need to plant. So if we partner with them and we take out the policy from that end, because they too are highly regulated, they need for them to play in our space, they need to be registered. Yeah. So there are a couple of bells and whistles that they need to answer to. And they become the portal where we transact policy, training, all of those beautiful things for the beneficiaries who are the farmers in a collated form, whom that particular facilitator is taking care of already. And in that, imagine when, as a small farmer living in your shed, I've seen pictures, I've attended, I think it was Grain SA's dinner, and they were profiling this farmer. He literally lived in a shack surrounded by beautiful corn. Now imagine all that corn is gone. There's no way he can take it to harvest. There's no way he can earn an income. There's no way he can derive any kind of revenue from all that beautiful corn that was growing around him. So those are the kind of farmers you want to protect.
Excellent.
So they are able to grow from small to medium to play with the commercial farmers in South Africa. And as you know, the commercial farmers in South Africa are being, the numbers are reducing. It's actually quite scary that from 40,000, I don't know where they are now, but the number I heard last is 8,000, and I stand to be corrected. It's not my area of expertise. Okay. But Anyway, coming back to the topic, this product is ideal. It's ideal for this kind of scenario that we're talking about.
Pamela, you're teaching us something so critical here, because as you've said, the industry is ready. We do need the buy-in and active participation of the state, but also, I guess, expedited rollout, because what we are witnessing is that these challenges in terms of climate and weather are not going anywhere, nor are they slowing down. And I'm keen to understand, given that there is an insurance provider that is a state-owned company, Sasria, they certainly helped us out back in 2021, have recapitalized. I understand they've also been out in the market speaking to reinsurers. Do they have a role to play, given the fact that they work as an insurance provider, but of course under the support and realm of National Treasury or the government overall?
They definitely have a role to play, because when we brag about South Africa, we brag about the Sasria model, where at that time there was a market failure. Market failure means there's no appetite from commercial insurers to underwrite that risk. So therefore, with 5 million, we created Sasria to now the company that it is now, more than 10 years later. So we know the model works. We have a successful proof of concept. And for Sasria to participate in some of these topics we're talking about, they are regulated in the sense that they've got a mandate that needs to be signed off by the Minister of Finance if they want to grow that mandate, if they want to underwrite other risks. And then obviously it's our regulators also who come into play in terms of, for the existing book that they're underwriting, that book needs to be protected. Remember, there are people behind that book.
Yes.
So you do not want to jeopardize their liability, potential liabilities, not being able to be paid out because we've stretched Sasria too thin. So, but those are discussions that are already in play. I mean, Mpumi is a great CEO. He's one of my favorite CEOs, right, and he's a member of SAIA. So when you engage him, you'll get more information in terms of some of the discussions that they're having with National Treasury.
100%. We've spoken to Mpumi of Sasria so often, and a great partner, and of course has even helped to elaborate on the role, function of the institution, and even heightening their level of partnership with key stakeholders and members of fiduciary circles in South Africa. Mpumi Chikwe, they're the CEO of Sasria. But Pamela, you've helped us understand, you know, key concepts here so critically, and I'm hoping that you can remind us of the name of the structure that you put in place. That next time we have conversations, not only will we comment on market failure and reducing market failure, but even some of these solutions that your industry is looking to implement.
It will be with an absolute pleasure. I'm always happy to participate.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you. Pamela Ramakgakga is the General Manager of Insurance Risks at the South African Insurance Association. And as you've heard, yes, we're well aware South Africa does have a very vulnerable population in the country. Those who might not have title deeds but live on traditional land, which we know typically works on a lease agreement and partnerships with traditional leaders who are in place. And that also impacts the level of agricultural activity within those spaces. What is happening and what has been proposed is that key participants in the industry are already engaging to say, let's have a level of insurance that does cover the most vulnerable communities. And of course, this does mean it will also be cost effective just to cover that protection gap. These are the most vulnerable individuals of South African society. And ultimately, we do need to make sure that there are solutions brought about to maintain their participation in the community, their safety in our economy, and the prioritization of their livelihoods.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.